Tonight, I just want to talk about the, building harmony in relationships, because before I left, I had a quick glance and the news was on while I was packing, and then in the news it says they're in the 90s, 95-year-old, I think, lady killed her partner. And found the massive injuries on the head. 90-ish, I think it's 95, right? At that ripe old age, they kill each other. So it happens. Not that it's a rare occasion. Of course, it's in this age group, you know, it's a bit rare. The other one I've heard is quite a few years back, is the this man killed a wife during the 70s or 80s because he always want his salt and pepper on one side, and his wife keep on moving to the other side. He didn't like it and keep telling her, don't move, this is the side I want my salt and pepper. And one day the wife still moves, and you know, he snapped and then he killed the wife during the 70s or 80s. So when we talk about building harmony in the relationship, what are the things that could disharmonize the family? The main thing is anger, isn't it? Anger is the one that comes to the forefront that damage relationships, not only the families, couples, but also many friends, colleagues, and societies. That's why we are fighting in the world nowadays, because of this anger. So if we look at it, you know, in a way that anger is something in a simple terms to express is not getting what we want. And we greatly disappointed by it. And then we stick to can't let go of what we want. So then the emotions and feelings just keep building up and building up, until to a stage that, I must have what I want, or, else I'm angry now. So this is the, in simple term, that's what happens. In another term is the ego that is becoming bigger and bigger. Self, in Pali, it's called atta. The self is becoming so big, and the interest for this self is the paramount reason for getting angry. If I don't get what I want, I'll be very angry, I'll be violent, I'll be vicious, I kill, I hit. That's what happens in these relationships that kill each other. Me is the only important thing. That's what I and that me wants, is the only thing. Whatever stands in that way is the one. Eventually with anger, you attack, you kill, you demolish, you get rid of. So in order to, improve relationships in a sense, is to notice these things. What are the main things, that make relationship, happen this way, ended up in killing each other. Some of them wouldn't kill each other, of course, but still quite as bad as killing. Very bitter, departure from each other. And then what has started as a beautiful relationship, loving each other, ended up as very bitter, and then saying, I wish, I've not met, people like you, in my life. It's turned to that side. But if we were, to contemplate deeply, in the first place when we came together, there are some goodness in, each other, that people like each other, and because of that, people accept each other. So then we can work on that, because to fully understood life is, nothing comes with guarantee card. This relationship, this person will be the same like this, good all the time. It doesn't have a warranty card. And nobody can predict anything in life. People are very complex. We can judge the main characteristic of people, but still people are very complex. The motives, the aims, the objectives, actions they do, it comes from a very complex way of interesting in these things called self, ego, atta. So if we know this, then what happens is what we are fully in love or liking each other very much at that stage, whether they are couples or friends or whatever, you know, relationship, then it's bearable. You know, little thing, you brush it off, you don't take it into account, or you can't see, because in a sense, love make you blind. The thing you want, this in this sense, you know, the thing you want is so much, you know, overwhelming you that you don't see the faults at all. And so you accept everything and you try to fulfill those things. Only when this thing called love, the intensity dies down, then you start seeing rationally, you start seeing things in a normal way, you know, reasons and, you know, logic, and then you come to see the differences in a realistic way, and sometimes it may be too late. But to look at life in a contemplative way is to understand this. Life is like that. Life is filled with all these emotional, you know, unrest and outburst and anger and hatred. Life is like that, and we need, as Buddhists, is to find out where they're coming from. That's why Buddha said, investigate yoniso manasikara, put wise attention to the roots of things. Then if you put this wise attention, as Buddha has suggested, you will find that it is the disappointments, frustrations of what we don't want, what you don't get, what we don't get what we want. That is the one that is making us eventually, you know, the accumulating all these disappointments and, you know, frustrations and building up, and then when you're in love, you don't see them, you can brush it off, but, you know, slowly and slowly, you know, love wears off, and love alone is not enough. It is a good thing, but it's not enough. So then you start seeing these things, and then all the, you know, things storing into your, feelings in your mind, and then you try to get the way you want, and then the other side doesn't respond. The other side also is on the same boat. Gee, you know, this I don't get what I want. That, you know, I don't agree. That makes me unhappy. So it is going on both sides. It's from both sides, because what we want, we can't even fulfill them. So let alone, you know, other people, they won't be able to do it. Everything we want, they won't be able to fulfill it. Whatever we want, try and fulfill it, we can't. You can't satisfy ourselves. So this is a balanced mind coming in, start thinking, if we were training our mind, but otherwise we will be the same. You know, anything, little thing happens and then it flares up. The mind is now getting restless, now getting filled with emotions, and then start, you know, coming out through words, harsh words, and then through actions, rude actions, whatever. So these things happen. So when you start seeing this through this meditation, when meditation is to use practically in life, that's why we're meditating. If we can't use it in a practical way, then it's useless. So that's why we're meditating, and when we're meditating, we realize the mind, how restless it is, how it's going through thoughts, how, you know, it can create things, feelings, emotions, etc. So to see this and coming at this stage to understand the, you know, imperfections of ourselves and others, and through that to understand, not to win, not to lose. If you go for winning and the other side is going for winning, it's called confrontation. It's not compromising and harmonizing, it's confrontation. And Buddha said, you know, how do peaceful people who practice, you know, his teachings live? He said, victory breeds hatred, defeated live in pain. Happily the peaceful live, giving up victory and defeat. That is his own words. So this can also apply to these relationships where you don't go for losing or winning. What you're going for is to harmonize, to see what is happening, and then to try and make things work. Give and take, that's the word, give and take is very important in relationship. Not truthful or not the right things or whatever, but through relationship, give and take and to harmonize. Maybe something is not right, but if it doesn't do harm, you let it go a bit, and then later on with skills that you have acquired through this meditation practice, through patience, through endurance, you try and see them, you know, the truthful way rather than going with a ton of brick. Then that way works better. And persuasiveness, you know, and then trying to trade off, that's another thing in relationship. Trade off as in you let them do what they want and what they have, and then in return you know, explain to them this is the way you would like it or the way it should be, or discuss it. If the way you want or the way we want also is not right, then through contemplation you will come to see that. And once you truthfully come to see that, oh, I've been a bit too much on this one, too strong, and then you reduce it, then that's harmonize it. So not confrontation, but to harmonizing. That's important. Not to win, not to lose. Because if you win, the other side will, you know, lie in pain and then wait for a chance to win over again, and then you'll be, you know, lying defeated in pain, like Buddha said. So not winning or losing in relationship, but to harmonize. And Buddha said, hatred never ceases through hatred. Only through love alone it sees. And he said that's the eternal law. So this can be most appropriately applied to families. Then, you know, when you have this feeling of, you know, unhappiness, upset, and emotionally in trauma, you know, you contemplate yourself, you know. Now you have a dislike and hate towards your partner is growing, you know. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to, you know, crash through and I'll teach him or her a lesson with sort of attitude? Will you go with that attitude and go very strongly, smash everything, damage everything? Or will you go with, well, you know, when people are angry, you know, let them be for a while, then I'll deal with it later in a skillful way, you know? And don't make things worse than what they were. Mitigate it, isn't it? Like a kettle that is boiled. When it's too hot, you can't touch it. But you leave it for a while, and then an hour or two, you go and touch it, you can touch it. Same thing, when people are very angry, you can give reasons and logic to them. But when they cool down a bit, then, you know, in relationships, you know the little waves that, you know, can bring people together. And in that, you know, moment, ability to stay calm, and ability to be able to control this, not control, to, you know, see the situations in the integrated way, and a mind that is willing to do positive things. Because the mind at this stage sometimes is so hardened and so angry, you wouldn't want to do those nice things, you wouldn't want to say those nice words, you wouldn't want to do those nice acts, because inside you is saying, no, I won't do it. The heart is very hardened at that stage. You don't want to compromise. You don't want to do it. You are angry. So knowing that the anger is there coming up, you start contemplating, isn't it? Then in that sense, you will see in an integrated way, you know, this is not the way to go forward. This hatred that I have been going through, dislike, it's coming up. If I keep going on and on, it'll be a confrontation. Won't be a harmonizing. It'll be anger against anger. Like Buddha said, you know, hatred never ceases through hatred, only love alone. So to be able to do that, the mind must have a, you know, very balanced, in a very balanced state, knowing with wisdom, then with meditation practice, your mind is strong enough to carry out this task. Otherwise, the mind is so weak, you say to yourself, I won't do it. Let him apologize first. Let her apologize first. Make the one that you are the one who try to pull strings together to harmonize things with this mind that understands life, that understands people's emotions, understand your own emotions, and that mind that is practiced well, a mind that is well balanced, can do it. Otherwise you can't, because you're also living in that anger and hatred. So in a sense like that, eventually, like that 95-year-old lady who killed her husband, it ended up like that, isn't it? But if you were, you know, treasure those moments together, that you have must have a lot of good times as well, then you, the last stages of your journey, you try to be helpful to each other, try to have forgiveness to each other. And if both sides work, that way it works. If it's only one-sided, then it wouldn't work, of course. But then, as I said before, you have come together in the first place because of some likeness. You know, you like each other to some points. Develop on those. Develop on those. And then you work on them. And eventually you have a balanced mind. But at the end of it, like Buddha said, whatever is subject to formation is subject to cessation. Whether it's happiness, whether it's misery, they all start and they all end. And if you stay together and, you know, happy and never quarrel, don't forget one day you'll have to part. And one day when one partner can't look after another, where do you end up? In a Western countries, in a nursing home. You may have big houses, lots of money in the bank, your bed is worth about $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, whatever, the best bed you can have. Now you ended up in a nursing home. If you're lucky, you might get that bed that can tilt up and down. And what do you see? That wall you look at whole day before the, you know, the meal times. You just stare at these walls in front of you. And how big is the room? Not big at all. Not as big as your big mansion or whatever it is. And what do you have on your bed? Few pillows. That's all you have. And what attention you have? All your grandchildren and families and this and that happily going around the big house you have. Now you have the nurses coming in to treat maybe a few times a day to give you medicine and to shower you or to look after you, isn't it? That's all you ended up. The one you love so much, where is he, where is she? They may be in another nursing home. Or you go and, you know, you are the one at home and you go and visit your loved ones. And you go and say, hello, how are you? They don't know who you are anymore. They might have Alzheimer's. And they might be calling police because they thought you're a stranger. Isn't it? So, know this, that is life. So what time you have together, that is the time you treasure. But otherwise, whatever, you know, has started will have to end one day, whether it's happy or unhappy. But regardless, it's an end. So knowing this Dhamma or the truth of life with contemplation, with practice, you try to keep a balanced mind. So what is this little, you know, trivial things that you are going through the family now? Isn't it? That's mean nothing. So brush it off, don't sweat over these little things, you know, concentrate on happiness while you have time still together. You know, after 70, 80, you have to say goodbye to everything and sit in that nursing home until you die. So I offer this to you today. Hope you can use it in your daily life. Thank you.